Live from Hollywood, California, it's The Rick Savage Show.
It is The Rick Savage Show. I am your host, Rick Savage. Took a week off, but we are back. Was in Hawaii. Hey, Hawaii lives up to the expectations. You know how some stereotypes are true? The Hawaii ones are true. It's beautiful and wet everywhere. There's also chickens everywhere. Someone told me, I don't know if this is true, but someone told me that like hundreds of years ago, there was a giant storm and all these chickens got free. And then they just became like wild animals on the islands. That can't be true, right? Maybe it is. Either way, there's lots of chickens. But it was gorgeous. We were in North Shore for a friend's wedding. Stayed at Turtle Bay for about a week. Spoiler, it's forgetting Sarah Marshall is a little deceiving. The resort is gorgeous. It's a little old. You know, it's definitely not a Ritz-Carlton. Back to Hawaii always being wet. Like, there, you know, you could just see like a little bit of rust here or there. Like around the air conditioning. It's just damp. It's a very damp place. But it was amazing. I played golf once at the Turtle Bay course. We did stand-up paddleboarding. I did a modified version we'll call sit-down paddleboarding. After the third time I fell in, I turned it into a kayak. I was like, yeah, it's enough. I get it. We saw turtles. What else did we do? Oh, we did zip lining. It was a nice little trip. I made a YouTube video. I haven't posted it yet. But I made a video that once I finish editing, we'll throw up on YouTube. Just some things I've learned about, you know, the first time you go to Hawaii, a couple things you should know. That's my idea for the video. Let's see if it actually turns out like that. But so, you know, check my YouTube channel for that in a few days. Speaking of YouTube, I got my first hater. Haters are real. And I got one. Someone left a comment. I don't know if you happen to see it yet. I made a video a few months back when I got a Bakerstone pizza oven for Christmas. It's kind of like a stovetop pizza oven. It's pretty awesome, actually. So I made a video kind of unboxing it and showing quickly how you put it together and then how you cook a pizza, kind of, because then I almost started a fire. No, I did start a fire. It was a contained fire, but it was a fire nonetheless. And so I made a video out of it, and it's got like almost 1,000 views because I think there's no other... Not many people are making videos about the Bakerstone pizza oven. I did. And, you know, you listen to this podcast, so you know. I try to be silly from time to time, and that was kind of the vibe of this video. And some people don't like that. I think people saw the title, and it basically said, like, Bakerstone review and fire warning. And maybe they thought of some. They thought it was going to be a little more serious. I don't know. But it has 1,000 views. It has like 7 upvotes and I think 7 downvotes. So, hey, why don't you go give me an upvote, please? And then I got a comment last night. And the comment was, of course, I mean, I'm now getting into this world where anonymous hate can come from anywhere. But of course, there was like no photo. It was a fake name. They didn't have any videos of their own. Just, you know, like a YouTube troll. And the comment was, hey, bro, you're 10-ply, which I first took to mean that I was like soft, maybe, as in 10-ply toilet paper, which I don't think is a thing. If that's a thing, we should buy it because it probably feels good on your butt. Hey, bro, you're 10-ply. So I thought it meant soft, and then I looked it up on Urban Dictionary, of course, and another meaning, I guess, is dense or thick. So maybe he said I was, either way, he either said I was soft or dumb. I've already hid the comment. I know engagement is good on your channel, but I don't want the only comment on this dumb video to be a guy calling me 10-ply. If you want to see the video I'm talking about, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/RickSavage, K-R-O-Q, which I know I don't work at that radio station anymore, but that's when I made the channel, and now I don't have enough subscribers to change it back. So go subscribe so I can eventually change that name. Also watch that video. Also give it a thumbs up. Sorry, I'm asking you to do a lot of things at the top of this podcast, but at least it's not ads. And that'll come someday. But I just, I clicked over and watched a podcast on YouTube, and the first 13 minutes were ads and plugs. It was a comedian's podcast. So half of it was the sponsorship from some weed company. Do you really need to talk about that for 5 minutes? And then the rest was just plugging all of his upcoming dates. Very annoying. So I won't do that, but I might ask you to thumbs up a video of mine. I went to another open mic right before we left for Hawaii. And I was going to try to do one while we were there, but it was hard to find. Honolulu, not really a big comedy scene. I mean, there's some, but it's not like LA or something. And then the bar in the hotel had an open mic night, and Gina really wanted me to go up. But it was like music open mic. It was all like Jack Johnson type, you know, Sublime covers. And then I get up there and be like, what's the deal with airplane food or something? But I did go to an open mic before I left. They're weird, man. If you ever get a chance to go to a comedy open mic, even if you have no interest in performing, I highly recommend it. Because you see some comics that are good, that are just trying stuff out. And then you see a lot of delusional people. And maybe some of that delusion is good. Maybe I'm not delusional enough. Maybe I'm too hard on myself. But that's another podcast and another conversation. This one I go to a lot. This place called Burt's on Melrose. They have a pretty good social following. And so they always take photos and take boomerangs on Instagram and post them on their account. And then you share them. And if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen it because I'll post them. It's cool. It's like a nice little, I don't know, it just feels nice. It's usually a nice photo of you on a stage. And at this level in our comedy careers, that feels pretty nice. So they were doing, he was taking his photos, like the host of the night, from the back of the room. And someone in the audience turned around and she was like, are you videotaping this? Like almost offended. And he was like, no, I just like post boomerangs. And she goes, oh, well, I didn't know that. All right. Settle down, Sarah Silverman. Like no one knows who you are. And he goes, well, they're just boomerangs. So you can't, you know, there's no audio. We're not like spoiling any of your jokes or anything. And she goes, no, I'm a lawyer. And there are rules about that. You're at an open mic on a Tuesday night on Melrose Avenue. Let's dial it down a notch. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Like I posted one from the last show. Do you want me to delete it? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. I can't have people seeing me like this. What? She was wearing like a pantsuit. I don't think it was inappropriate attire. Also, if you're going to open mics in Hollywood, California, isn't the goal to hope that someone sees you and goes, oh, you do comedy. Do you want to get on this show or you should meet? So like, isn't the whole point of that is practicing the dumb jokes and then hoping someone likes your dumb jokes and puts you on a real show? Not for this fucking Aaron Brockovich. She was very offended. And then her whole 5 minutes was about some guy that she had to defend that he got arrested for shoplifting at a Vons, but he was trying to make a meal, I guess. And instead of stealing like a loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly, he just took out two pieces of bread and made the peanut butter and jelly in the aisle. All right. I don't know if that's really true. Did someone get arrested for that? Did they get a defense attorney? I mean, I guess a public defender. Sorry, I don't want to just always vent about open mics, but sometimes things like that happen. Sometimes you get lawyer people very offended that you had the audacity to take a photo of them at a comedy show. Oh, real quick, I try not to dwell on my office situation, but we're still not set up again. I'm still recording on the not number one microphone, and we're not fully built out. A couple weeks for that still. I've had several people say, hey, it doesn't matter, and it sounds fine, and stop worrying about it. So, my bad, but just keeping you up to date. A couple more weeks, and then we'll be back in business. The Oscars were tonight. There will be no Oscar recap, much like the Grammys. A few weeks ago, there was no Grammy recap. The shout-out I will give is to one of the nominated best documentaries called Minding the Gap. They did not win. But I highly recommend the documentary. It's on Hulu now, and you could probably rent it on iTunes for a couple bucks. It's called Minding the Gap. It starts out as a, you know, kind of small town documentary. It's this kid filming his friend skateboarding. it evolves to a much deeper story about domestic violence and kind of growing up with, you know, tough parents and how their lives all weave together and how the cycle of domestic abuse leads to more and more of it. And it gets kind of heavy at points, which makes it a great documentary. But you go into it thinking, at least I did, you know, I heard this buzz of, oh, it's a cool documentary about these skateboard kids from, I think it's Rockford, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And I was like, great, I'm in. And then there's so much more to it. So they didn't win. Some documentary about a guy climbing a mountain won. Great. Good for you, bro. Free solo, free climb, doesn't matter. Good job. Also, how was the Mr. Rogers documentary not even nominated? The Oscars are so dumb. And so are the Grammys. All that shit is dumb. None of it matters. Just make cool stuff. Go watch Minding the Gap. You know what else happened this week is a bunch of fashion companies got in trouble because they're so dumb. Burberry had a fashion show where a woman had a noose around her neck walking the runway, which is 50% offensive to suicide victims or the issues there, and 50% offensive to black people for lynching. So you're 0 for 2. A noose, just a model, just walking with a noose. I don't know who the other, Katy Perry was somehow involved, but she had a shoe release like through Gucci or someone, it doesn't matter, that looked kind of like a blackface, but on a shoe. I don't know how these things happen. There is part of me that thinks that maybe they're doing it on purpose. Maybe, I mean, especially Gucci, right? Gucci had the blackface stuff a couple weeks ago, and now, you know, kind of all the rappers are coming out and saying we need to boycott Gucci because Gucci's so big in the black community and we shouldn't be supporting this brand. Maybe that was the goal. Remember the old urban legend that Tommy Hilfiger hated the fact that black kids were wearing his clothing? I don't know if that's true or not. That was kind of the story. And then that the champagne, Cristal, that was in all the rap videos, and then some person associated with that company said they hated that. So then Jay-Z started boycotting Cristal, so everyone stopped drinking it. Maybe that's the goal. Maybe these companies, they lose control of what they thought their clothing would be, and they don't want black kids and rappers wearing their clothing. And so they go, well, let's take the hit. Let's take the PR hit, but we'll take a couple years to get our good name back, and then we'll go back to being really high-priced, bougie, stupid fashion lines, and we don't have to worry about black kids wearing it. Maybe they know. The only reason I'm going to say that they don't know and they're just dumb is because when all this was coming out, I saw a million tweets saying, do you have any idea how many people have to approve a design before it goes live and all these things? And that is true. But I've been involved with a few projects, and I can't name names and I can't give specific examples because there's like NDAs involved and shit, you know? I don't want to get sued by giant companies. But there was a couple things that went live, quote unquote, without nearly any approval. I mean, one or two people signed off on it and then it was out and then it exploded and it was a disaster. And then you go, well, how is that possible? That must have been approved by 15 people. No, two. Two people said this is a good idea, and then it wasn't. So maybe that happened here too, but maybe not. That's the take I'm bringing you now. You know, I just got in from Hawaii last night. This isn't going to be one of the best podcasts. So my take right now is maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. You decide. It's choose your own adventure. You don't always need a ridiculous opinion from me. Oh man, this is a good one. Should this be Savage of the Week because it's so ridiculous? Yeah. Well, I know it's early for Savage of the Week, but there's no rules. We do whatever we want. Let's do it right now.
What a fucking savage! I'm a savage. Fucking with a savage.
I'm a savage.
Savage, what
they call a savage. They like Savage, why you got a 12-car garage and you only got 6 cars?
Something about you turns me to a savage.
Savage. Okay, this might be the longest savage of the week. And it goes to Meghan Trainor and her PR person. I don't know how this happened, back to that conversation of who approves these things, but oh my God, did you hear about Meghan Trainor's press release? Is it insane to read an entire press release on my podcast? I think we're just going to dive into it together and let's see if we make it out on the other side. February 8th, 2019, Los Angeles, California. Valentine's Day is around the corner, and whether you're planning on smashing Bay's junk to smithereens or making out with a pint of fish food, you need some fresh Valentine's Day bops to get you in the mood for love. And Meghan Trainor has got you covered with her new EP, The Love Train, Epic Records. Yo, if you work at Epic and you're listening to this, you need to hit my line. You need to slide into my DMs and off the record, tell me how this happened. So first sentence, she's talking about smashing Bay's junk to smithereens. Maybe not she, maybe he, maybe a guy wrote this. Meghan Trainor's got you covered with a new EP, The Love Train. You know you want it, and you can freaking get it, bitch, on all digital platforms right here. Meghan's seducing your ears this V-Day, and you know she knows a thing or two about romance. Unless your phone's been broken for a hot minute, you know that Meghan just got married to the ginger from Spy Kids, and trust when we say, girl is feeling the love. She took a break from her busy schedule to record some fire tracks in LA, alongside frequent collaborators and producers, a bunch of people you've heard of. We know you want to hear songs about all the hot newlywed sex Meghan and Daryl Sabera are having. Did you see what we did there? I don't, because I don't know what the fuck the guy's name is. So the BAE pun, I don't even know what his last name was before the pun. So no, I don't see what you did there. Which is why you'll love the banging single All the Ways. Billboard was wet for All the Ways, calling it another fun, danceable track to fall in love with. And would Billboard lie to you, girl? Yeah, Billboard lies all the fucking time. But perhaps the piece de resistance, that's French for wig snatch, is Marry Me, a romantic acoustic guitar and ukulele-tinged awe fest, which delivers all the feels and then more feels. Meghan wrote the song 30 days after meeting Daryl, and it was so good that she walked down the aisle to it. We know it's a little bit hashtag vom-worthy, but also, am I chopping onions right now, or are those tears rolling down my face? I'm not crying, you're crying. Yo, it's still going, you want to keep going? You might have just said no, but that was the wrong answer. You should have looked at the stereo in your car that says The Rick Savage Show, I'm Rick Savage. Or if you're listening in your headphones while you're working on a TPS report, you should have said, yes, I want to hear more of this press release. And as always, our Grammy-winning, diamond single-having queen, in all caps, didn't just come to play. She came to slay. She's serving vocals on the passionate Celine Dion-esque power ballad After You. Bold, by the way, to just casually drop a Celine reference. Let's not get carried away. Plus, Meghan's serving your insatiable thirst for dance-ready bops with the upbeat banger that is Foolish. It slaps so hard you'll be standing for days. As if all the PDA, including foot massages, butterfly kisses, and piggyback rides aren't cringeworthy enough, says her brother and videographer Ryan, I've got to film it all. What? That took a weird turn. Choo-choo, bitch. The love train is leaving the station, and you better get on board. Be on the lookout for more surprises very soon as she prepares for a landmark 2019. So I can't really blame Meghan, but also there's no way a press release doesn't go out without an artist or artist management approving it. So someone wrote this up. Like, who are you trying to hit? Because anyone over 35 thinks that's disgusting and doesn't catch most of the references, right? And then, or we just think they're dumb. It's not, doesn't catch the references like it's fucking Pulp Fiction over here. No, we get it all. It's just stupid. And then if you're actually a kid, if you're actually 15, I mean, first off, press releases go to press, which would mean you'd have to be old enough to have a job. But okay, let's say you're a 22-year-old journalist at a music blog. You're going to read that and first off, take her serious as an artist? No. Second, think it's funny or cute or clever? Of course not. Have I talked about the VP of Common Sense on this podcast? I'm sure I have, but it's been a while. The lovely Bill Simmons, ESPN, formerly, as the Ringer podcast, journalist, author, commentator. He had this theory that any sports franchise should have a VP of Common Sense in the front office. And before any trade is made, they walk in and they have to present the trade to the VP of Common Sense, who's not in the weeds and doesn't know all the politics and doesn't know all the ins and outs. He just looks on paper and goes, common sense, does this make sense? Does this trade make sense? Because, you know, when you're in it, you get so wrapped up in the hype and the buzz and the politics and everything else, you think these things are good ideas, and then they're not. And so Epic Records, what are you doing? Where's your VP of Common Sense? L.A. Reid's gone, right? He's not at Epic anymore because he, you know, he might have been inappropriate with some females. Who's the president of Epic Records right now? Is it Sylvia? Ooh, I should be careful. Let's see. President Epic Records. Oh, Sylvia Roan. Well, she's super badass and knows her shit, and I'm not going to say anything about her, but I will say that she should have a stern conversation with her head of PR, which I'm sure has already happened because this press release came out a week ago, but what this podcast is quickly becoming is I look at Twitter and the internet so you don't have to, and that was very high on the list of things we needed to go over. Smashing Bay to smithereens. And that's the music industry.
What a fucking savage!
Completely unrelated to that, can I take a U.S. history class right now? I don't care about credit or anything. Do people do that? Can you drop into like, well, I guess you can't go to like USC and just take their history class. But I could probably go to a community college, right? I feel like there's, I mean, I really enjoyed history, and I don't think I took AP US. I think I just took US history, but then I took AP government. Wow, that was a long time ago. I feel like, first off, in this climate where everyone is more engaged, but also just being older, I'd appreciate these things more. And I was thinking about, like, maybe I can just take a class. If you know about this kind of stuff, will you message me on Twitter or Instagram? Just like, can I take a college class just for fun? I mean, I would pay how much is a community college class these days? $100? I have no idea. $100 a credit? $300? You know, we watch Rachel every night, of course, and I've read People's History, and I've flipped through that again recently, heavy. And then for Christmas, I got like a U.S. history trivia book, which sits in the bathroom and gets used a frequent amount. Funny, clever things in that book. And I was like, you know what? I got time right now. Why don't I go take a history class? Does anyone know any history teachers? Oh, one other crazy thing that happened in Hawaii. I witnessed a family of four order four plates of spaghetti with no sauce. I have so many questions. Like, who started this tradition in the family? I could see if like the five-year-old little boy doesn't like sauce, so he gets his noodles plain. But then I imagine he learned that from mom or dad. But there's no way mom and dad both don't like sauce on their spaghetti. The guy even brought out three plates with no sauce and one with sauce, and then the mom sent the fourth plate back, no sauce on any of them. I'm honestly puzzled on how that happened. Maybe it's an allergy. Maybe there's something in tomato sauce that if it gets around dad, you know, he breaks out in hives. Can people be allergic to tomatoes? So he's like, we'll go to an Italian restaurant, but no one's getting sauce. I want butter on my noodles. I want plain noodles. It's the whitest thing I've ever heard. Shout out to the Carson Daly Show. Last Call with Carson Daly is finally going off the air. And yes, everyone made the same joke that, oh my God, it's still on the air. Ha ha ha. So clever. So funny. It was still on the air, and he wasn't super involved anymore. I think all the interviews were just the guest talking to a producer off camera. There wasn't really a host anymore. Okay, kind of ahead of its time. They were making content. They were making internet style content for TV. I mean, years ago. I remember in like 2008 watching The Last Call of Carson Daly and being like, wow, this is how kids would watch a late night talk show. It was short and it was quick and it was shot on DSLR style cameras. So everything was very handheld and it felt kind of like a vlog. I mean, better production value of that, but that kind of style, right? And the music performances, they used to be in the studio. They scrapped that and then they started filming live performances at the Wiltern and the Fonda and other venues here in LA, Troubadour, Palladium. But again, they would do it with handheld cameras. It wasn't like this giant production. It felt very intimate and raw. And it's, I don't know, I just was super impressed with the style of the show. And it's run its course and he's not involved anymore. And now he lives in New York and is a co-host on a Today Show or something. So shout out to Carson. So good job on your show. Also, shout out to Carson because he put me on his show once. And now that's a credit on my IMDb. Let me ask you something. If I'm trying to get gigs at comedy clubs, can I use Last Call with Carson Daly as a credit? Can I say I was featured on Last Call with Carson Daly? Let me tell you how it went down and then let me know what you think. So Carson was a DJ at K-Rock. Carson was kind of part of this last wave of people that were DJs at K-Rock and then got super famous afterwards. Carson Daly, Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, Chris Hardwick. I don't know. There were some other ones. But they would all go through K-Rock and then get TV deals, right? And then that kind of stopped right around the time I got to K-Rock. So maybe coincidence, maybe not. But Carson, I think, really valued his time at K-Rock. So he'd come by a lot. This was before he hosted the morning show on AMP Radio. But he would come by and like he would fill in every now and then if like Stryker was on vacation or something, Carson would just do it for fun. And then he would film his show there sometimes too. So one night he was filming and I was, I must have been recording commercials or something because I was in the other studio. Nicole Alvarez was hosting the night show. He was in with her. And then he kind of waved me into the main studio. So I was in the studio with Nicole and he was like, hey, I want to get you guys all to like mention a band that you're really into. Just to give them like a shout out on the show. And I was like, dude, this guy is really so cool. Like he didn't need to do that for me. He certainly didn't have to put me on his TV show. And now his thought was, hey, these guys know music really well. Maybe they can give a shout out to an unknown band. How cool is that? He got such a bad rap for being a douche. He was always very cool. Anyways, so I pop into the studio and then he walks in with the camera crew, they're recording. And he's like, what's up? It's Carson. I'm here with Nicole Alvarez. That's Rick Savage. And we're about to sign off. You know, what band are you guys listening to? And I don't remember who Nicole said. I'm sure it was a great rock band. And then I said the Gaslight Anthem. And he was like, oh yeah, I've heard about them. They're great. This was like a million years ago. That's how cool we were back then. And that was it. And then we signed off. And then when the edit came down, they removed all the mentions of the band. So there was just Carson walking in going, that's Rick Savage, and then out. So I was on TV. You saw my face, and I was definitely not ready to be on TV because I was going through like a Sons of Anarchy phase, had a motorcycle, had long hair, had a big old beard. Not the best look if you're going to be on TV. So they showed me for maybe 3 seconds, but he said my name. That's cool. And it's on my IMDb. Can I use that as a credit? Can I email a comedy club in Phoenix and say, as featured on Last Call with Carson Daly? I'm not saying I did stand up on Carson Daly, just saying I was featured on it. I mean, everyone else lies to get ahead. Oh, by the way, shout out to the agency that just launched that has a video that I produced and directed on their website taking credit for our work. Shout out to that. Shout out to those guys. Speaking of lying and taking credit. I'm not going to say any names. I don't think the dude would listen to this podcast in a million years. But if you're going to start an agency, try not to take credit for other people's work. Took a turn there, huh? Took a little twist. Whatever, man. I was featured on Last Call with Carson Daly. I can say whatever I want. My other credit is a good one. My other credit was on MTV House of Style from, I think it was in 98 or 99. I was DJing a prom in San Diego and they were filming an episode of House of Style there where they did like some makeovers on some students. Scripps Ranch High, I think. Yeah.
So there's one or two clips of me DJing this prom and probably saying like, what up, seniors, make some noise. And then playing like DJ Cool, Let Me Clear My Throat, or DMX. That was around that time. I did a lot of, there's a lot of like DMX up in here mixed into Eminem Real Slim Shady. That always, the kids always like that mix. So those are my two credits. That's featured on MTV House of Style and Last Call Carson Daly. Hey, how about that for enough of a podcast? I think that's a good place to end. I'm not going to ask you to rate or review this week. How about you go to my YouTube channel and just thumbs up all my videos? Because only one of them has any views, and evidently people hate it. So if you could give it a couple thumbs up, that'd be great. Yeah, it's at Rick Savage on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that good stuff. And relatively soon, we'll have some video content coming out of this little studio. And I'm looking up at the ceilings. Maybe they won't be covered in plastic next week. We'll see. I hope you have a great week. Stay out of trouble. I'll be around. Hit me up if you need anything. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
This is the Rick Savage Show.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.